Blog Talk Radio.
We are black. We can't change that. Everyone looks out for their own first. It's a natural fact. It's about time we learn. We must come together also before we can compete. Are you feeling me? Before we could earn true equality on equal footing. Then we could intermingle on a single world stage, putting everyone on the same page. If you could, wouldn't you want it? Would you? If you had it, shouldn't you flaunt it? I don't know, but I do know this. Some people think we're on a level playing field. I say, open your eyes, look around. We're not even in the same stadium. What do you say to them? We need black leaders like from the old school, yes. Leaders of the new school. Where the young ones come from, stand up from among the dumb ones. Don't you know? We've come a long way, baby, but so much further to go. Please join the World Black Networkers Association on the Mighty People Online Social Network. At mightypeople.info, where our mission is to bring the world black community together in effective networking for successful living.
This is Master Griot Radio, channel 13 on your NBVTA internet radio dial. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I am your host for this moment in time. It's time for purpose-driven words, shaping thoughts, building minds, true wealth, communities, and legacies.
If my words had wings, they'd fly to you each day.
Welcome to the digital drummer, Jim Newton, with Urban Tech Talk on the radio. Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm feeling fine, Jackie. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. Oh, I just have to apologize to anyone who got the wrong information. For some reason, our Facebook event kept changing the time.
And it had me confused. I've seen it said 8 o'clock.
Yeah, and I don't even know why it changed. I just happened to look, and I'm like, huh, 8 o'clock? I mean, who did that? So it keeps putting it at 8 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Mountain, 9 o'clock Central, and 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So I had to put that in there, and I kept trying to change it back to 7. It just wouldn't do that. So, but we are here, and I sent Mazone a message, and hopefully he will get the message. So,
while you're here, while we're waiting, and we can maybe talk about Digital Hollywood last week and
yes.
What went on with their Women's Summit and the Hispanic Summit.
Definitely. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. As some of you are aware, Digital Hollywood is one of the top tech events in the nation. It happens 3 times a year here in Los Angeles, and then at CES in Las Vegas, and then I believe in the fall it's in New York City. And it is a marriage of the Hollywood studio industry and Silicon Valley, to say it quite simply. All your major studio reps are there. All your major marketing reps are there from the tech industry, and they're talking about the future TV and set-top boxes and how they will commercialize or monetize the upcoming new technology, new media technology, vis-a-vis the second screen, as everybody's talking about with this cell phone, how they're being tied interactively into a new original programming and content. That being said, they had an array of workshops and seminars over 4 days at the, I can't think of the name of the hotel right now, but in Santa Monica Beachfront Hotel, and it was very enjoyable afternoon pool receptions. I always encourage people to participate in trade events and conventions because it's a way that you can meet experts in the field one-on-one, and you can talk and identify different markets that you hadn't thought of prior to coming to some of these workshops and seminars. So that being said, Samsung hosted a Women's Power Summit for women in tech and women in film. And it was 2 days of some great speakers. Our own Kimberly King Burns was involved from Convergence. That's the name of her company, Kimberly King Burns with Convergence. She put together a couple of panels there, as well as for the Hispanic Summit. They had major leaders there from all the telcos and cable companies talking about the Hispanic market and the new type of content that they're looking for to attract or tap into that market. So it was a great 4 days. We made a lot of contacts. I was able to pass out a lot of cards, talk to a lot of people, see some old friends, make some new contacts. Things are looking up, moving forward. We've still got name recognition, and we've got the support of some major tech players who are looking at our organizing efforts nationally right now. One of the people that I was introduced to was the president of WeVideo, WEVIDEO, WeVideo.com. It's a video streaming platform similar to YouTube, except it allows you to edit on the fly. And it's based on a social networking platform that allows you as an individual from your profile to edit and upload video seamlessly. So when we start talking about the national video contest in every city, and, you know, Jackie's a big fan of this one, we're going to be asking people in every city that the Urban Tech Fair is held at, one of the first things that we're going to do is have a video contest and ask people to create a 2-minute video of what technology is in their community. So that platform, WEVIDEO, will be ideal for that with the social networking aspect of it. And so we really appreciate that support. And as I said, you know, we got a chance to talk with Samsung. We got a chance to talk with Facebook, with all the major players. They were all there. So it was a great event, a great week. And I have to give my hats off to Victor Harwood, the producer of Digital Hollywood. He's always making extra efforts to reach out and create a more diverse and informative type of platform for minorities and women and up-and-coming startups, bootstrap companies to really get in the game. So he's an innovator and a visionary, and I support him and thank him for allowing me full access to the event.
All right. This sounds like it was exciting, and we do need to do our best to take advantage of these conventions and conferences, and especially the ones that are, you know, are free to low cost. Sometimes you think that something may be free or low cost, it's not good, but you can generally find something worthwhile in many of them, because there are many of them that are very expensive.
If this is a very expensive show, I think it's a general admission starts at about $800.
Okay.
But the concept is still the same. It was worth $800 to be there, to be able to meet one-on-one and shake the hands with the chief marketing officer for Samsung Electronics. You know, to be able to make that type of contact is worth the money. And whether you're talking about the tech industry, forgive me for the amateurs, it's just South Central, whether you're talking about the tech industry or whether you're talking about the hair industry or whether you're talking about the entertainment industry, these type of conferences such as CES, NAB, these different type of regional events are great to attend.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely, if you definitely have your ducks in a row, those type of events do pay off. And sometimes you understand the biggest thing about the events, you know, is the networking. That is the biggest thing. And what you can learn from other people.
Yes, one of the first things I advise people to do before they spend any money is look at who's on the speakers list. Look at the subjects that are being covered. Are they relative to your industry and your immediate needs? And will they serve a purpose, or is there something that you can gain other than just shaking hands and exchanging business cards?
Yeah. Are the people that you're shaking hands and exchanging business cards people that, you know, you really want to connect with, you know? So you know, you really do have to look at them.
They're your peers. They're your peers in the industry. I said they're your peers in the industry. Yes.
Yeah. And that's what makes these conferences good, especially when they're industry events. They're generally based in an industry, in a niche, in an area. So a lot of times you can get specialized training or specialized networking. And that's what makes it makes them good. So I do
they
know.
Have like at CES, they have classes where you can go get certification for different technologies and new programs, so you can come away from certified.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, that's one of the things that we'll be doing too. When as our resource section comes up, we will be listing those. You know, you'll be able to check the resource section and find out various events. You know, technology events, technology challenges. You know, all different, you know, type of tech events that you can attend. And then you can, you know, look them up and see which ones are working.
And on our Facebook groups as well, we're posting up a lot there. In fact, Brother Muhammad out the Bay Area made an introduction for me to go to the Los Angeles Video Gaming Convention. Coming up next week, I'll be there.
Mhm. Yeah, there, and that's what's good about what we're doing with the Urban Tech Fair. We'll be able to get the various cities to report and what's going on in their area, and then so there may be a lot of things that, you know, we may not know generally, you know, may not just find out there, but things that we would find out that are happening in the cities that you just may not even know of. And but there's very good events and very successful events that you may not even realize is happening in your own area. So that's one of the good things. The cities will be reporting also what's going on in their area.
like Yvette Moby on our discussion group out of the Chicago area. She's been putting on events. She's the founder of Real Men Cook, and they have a whole series of workshops and health events that goes on along with that on Father's Day every year. They do Father's Day Real Men Cook.
Mhm. Yeah, and that's a real exciting event. And that happens in various cities as well. So, I think we have a few people that are involved with a few events. But it is good to see, like, you know, like you spoke, or David has a gaming event. You went to the Digital Hollywood. That, you know, Yvette is a cooking event. So it's just like all these different areas. And there are all these really good events, and again, in different niches and great places to go, network, and learn in areas that you're interested in, that you're doing business in, or, you know, whatever. So I think that's, again, what makes the urban tech fair a bit exciting. And so when are you scheduled to go to the gaming event?
That's Tuesday and Wednesday this week, so I'll be going and checking out Electronic Arts and all the different gaming manufacturers and seeing what they're coming for. You know, one of the things that we encourage in the Urban Tech Fair is coding skills, so you can begin to react, write, and create your own games. And maybe I'll be able to come away with some contacts of our companies or organizations that are doing that as well. So, you know me, I'm going to be on the lookout. The digital drummer is going to be looking on the drum about.
Yeah. Well, gaming is definitely an area we need to definitely be more knowledgeable in. And so what have you been reporting about all this week? What are some of the good things that you've been reporting about this week, Jim?
Well, one of the things that I just touched on lightly, but I think is a great opportunity that was announced at Digital Hollywood, was Samsung is putting together a woman's mentoring program to get more women involved in executive positions in the entertainment and tech field. And they're putting together a list of angel investors and support groups and mentors that will help walk you through the entire process of being able to create and move up the tech ladder, whether it be as a senior management position or whether it be as an entrepreneur. So they're I think they put almost $1 million, as I understand it, into this program. They'll be hosting workshops and setting up things for women around the country. So you've got to keep your ear open for that. Another thing that I touched on today was the faith-based film market, family film market, and the amount of money that films that are falling into that genre, whether you're talking about The Butler, which was came out of Tyler Perry's house, and the films that he's doing out of Atlanta are what T.D. Jakes and Oprah are both doing. Mm-hmm. They're all making very successful and financially beneficial movies based on faith and family culture. And there's a lot of different film festivals that are coming out. Speaking of events, there's a lot of different film festivals that have very nice contest pots up to $1 million in terms of funding and supporting that whole industry. So, you know, if you're a filmmaker, a photographer, or are in that line of the arts, you might look at the faith-based industry is a place to start from an independence perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely, well, they've been very successful in music, and I think hip-hop has has been growing in the gospel industry better than it's been growing in the secular industry, because it's a better quality. Because in order for them to be successful in gospel, the one thing they had to do was be clear on, you know, on their speech, because a lot of times people couldn't understand them. So I think some gospel hip-hop artists are just, you know, they excel at the craft a little bit better, because for them to be successful in the arena, they have to be. And the gospel industry is really a booming industry all the way around.
And did you see that post I put on the advancements that they're doing with the biofactories?
No, with the biofactories?
Yeah, they're able to create new cellular structures easy as we send emails, and they're setting up factories where a technician basically pumps in the DNA numbers that he wants in the cell in terms of what he wants it to do in the end result. And then through a series of vial tubes and a process, they generate actual cells and organisms that they're using to fight cancer, to put in food flavoring, you know, that they're using for all kind of things. And, you know, they're making an unbelievable amount. I think it was something like a million new classifications of life that did not exist before.
Oh, Lord. I don't know if I'm happy about that. I don't know. I wonder what these things would be used for,
Where medicine has come to. You know, we talk about these 3D printers, but they're using these 3D printers to actually fabricate bone and pieces of the skull and body parts and everything in terms of the medical industry. And then you start talking about telemedicines and being able to do a complete physical with your heart rate and everything off of your cell phone. You know, they're just advancing by leaps and bounds in this generation in terms of the quantum effect that healthcare has taken over the last 20 years versus when I was coming up, they were still dealing with polio.
I just read an article about blood that they just had made some, they felt they were successful at making some blood that they shot into some, you know, rats, and that the body didn't seem to react to the blood. So they were happy about this, where they were designing new blood, and they're testing it at animals right now.
Oh yeah, and I like the one where they found a way to grow hair on where, you know, make new hair grow. Because that means you can end the baldness.
Well, that's definitely good. I know,
yeah,
that'll be a real good. That one would do really well. Well, now men are sporting the ball, like, you know, it's the fad now.
Well, you hear them say it every day on the Obamacare, as baby boomers outnumber the millennials.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
One of the things that they were saying at Digital Hollywood that I found very interesting was they were talking about the millennials in terms of target marketing. And how, you know, advertising is always in America, the pop culture is focused in on the youth. And that one out of every four millennials now is Hispanic. And that's expected to grow, you know, and that how they can tap into that market, because the Hispanics are digital wise, just like everybody else in America. So, you know, they're using a multi-channel. They've disconnected from the cord. I think they said one out of three millennial Hispanics has YouTube as their homepage.
Yeah, I would believe it. YouTube is really a real voice. But, you know, you just have to give it to it with social media and then YouTube visually putting out you know, the voice of the people. I mean, people can get on there and about do anything. I mean, honestly, I'm getting ready to do a series. I'm just trying to find a good video camera. But I'm getting ready to do a series on my animals because they're funny. And if some of these things can get the million hits that they do, I know my funny animals can.
Well, that's the beauty of Wii Video, is because now the newer smartphones have megapixel video in them. They're able to do 1080 high-definition video. And to be able to upload that video from your phone and edit it and cut it up just like you would with a video camera and do it electronically is a great advantage. And that's what they see their edge in the market versus YouTube, who is really the gorilla in the marketplace. You know, they're having the YouTube awards tonight in New York City.
Yeah. I wasn't excited about them. I wasn't excited about
them.
I voted, but I mean, I went to vote, but I really, I thought there would be more unknown people, but the major awards are like the major artists.
The numbers, and you know as well as I do, as a good marketing team, you can boost up the numbers. It's not hard to make the numbers big.
It's the major artists. You know, not that I have anything. You know, Rihanna. It's 90% major artists. So
and
you know, the major artists already have a major following, so therefore they have the numbers. But I just thought awards like YouTube would have a place for, the unknowns. You know, for you to. You know, recognize some more of the unknown. So I thought it would just be more, I thought it would be more categories for those type of.
Look, that shows you the dark side of the internet because according to YouTube and their press releases, their intent was what you're saying. That was their intent, was to highlight some of the most popular and stars that they've birthed, that came out of YouTube. That made this start on YouTube, and the whole thing is that YouTube has enough subscribers now. They're looking to compete with Netflix in terms of original programming and TV programming, being able to stream that. A lot of people are not aware that you can stream full movies in 3-hour concerts right now on YouTube, and as an entertainment platform, as I've said in the past, it's all about the subscriber. And so YouTube is looking at how it can gain a foothold in that market and become more of the establishment versus the independent. You know, Netflix now has more subscribers than HBO. Can you believe it?
Mm-hmm.
They have more subscribers.
Yeah, I read it.
Now, what does that say when they're creating their own original content? HBO wants to do the same thing. I mean, YouTube wants to do the same thing.
Yeah, and now the thing about it, I work with a lot of artists. A lot of people's goal was to get their movie on HBO. Now, you know, with this, people, you know, it expands the field. You know, maybe I can get it easier on Netflix or YouTube. You know, now maybe I have more of an audience than if I had it on HBO. So it's definitely making a difference in the industry. You know, before HBO and Showtime was the place that, you know, a lot of artists, you know, playwrights and, you know, that are, you know, converting their things to film, that was their goal, to get their work, you know, on that platform. So now, you know, that whole options and market, you know, really has expanded. And even
look what they did with Breaking Bad. You know, Netflix is credited with the success of that.
Yeah. I know, I have been started some reality TV things. People had asked me about it, and I had an idea, and I was told how to research it, and then some people I work with, they wanted to do these things, so I help people, you know, articulate what they wanted. So I have a little experience with developing, you know, formats for reality TV. But this has totally expanded the field. But before, we were just looking at going, you know, getting certain people, you know, certain broadcast stations, and who you were looking for to pick you up. But with Netflix, it really has, you know, changed options. It really makes you look differently. Well, hey, if I don't go here, I may could be just as successful, or definitely a good start and launch to do it on Netflix. And
exactly.
And at that market, who's watching Netflix? You know, that Netflix market is a very viable market, to be honestly, that was ignored in regular broadcast TV. The Netflix market is not the people who help make Nielsen ratings. They're not the people that Nielsen, you know, interviews include in their ratings.
And one of the things that they were talking about at Digital Hollywood was in terms of embedded second screen triggers. So that as you were watching the show on your simultaneously at the program was playing on TV, you could have your phone and mouse over certain things that you see in the shot, on the shot, and have all the information come up for purchase. Such as if you like their glasses or you like their shoes, just one click straight to purchase from your phone as a secondary device.
Mm-hmm.
And how that affects the user experience, with the viewer of the film, how they can incorporate that into a smooth transition, so that you don't have to take your eyes away from the screen or interrupt the movie experience in order to make that purchase or make that move. You're trying to
simplify. Yeah, well, I think it's an excellent way at monetizing, and without people necessarily having to be forced into a commercial.
Yeah,
it offers a way to monetize. It may take people away from the story, you know, artistically. I mean, but it's definitely a way of monetizing.
Well, the best takeaway I got from those discussions was that a secondary platform similar to what Disney is doing and Channel 7 is doing, where if you really like the show, then you can come over to look at the behind-the-scenes whole community that's based around the show through your cell phone and the internet, versus trying to incorporate both of them simultaneously using the second screen as a secondary capture point, a second experience altogether.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is definitely so. So well, what we're going to do, we're going to take a momentary break, and then we can come back and close out, because our guest did not arrive, and there may have been some confusion with the time. I still, while we were on the show, I was trying to change the time. It just would not allow me. But so what we're going to do, we're just going to take a break for a little Maxwell, and then we're going to come out, and you can give us some closing thoughts, Jim, okay? And about
all
what's
right.
coming up next. All right. Okay, we are back. That was just a little Maxwell. We got to chill out to a little Maxwell, so. So, Jim, what do we have, you know, coming up for the next week? I know we have our national conference call coming this Saturday.
Yes, you know, we're going to be talking about, right, we're going to be talking about some of the things that are taking place around the country. That's why I wish Lazon could have been on the show tonight to talk about what's happening in Kansas City and the success he's had with the Wi-Fi networks that they're building down there. You know, I was talking with a brother from New York online earlier tonight, and the New York BDPA is excited about the Urban Tech Fair coming there and how we are looking at the Betty Shabazz Center in Harlem for our Wi-Fi central spot. And he was saying that they're powered and supported by Howard University. So it all comes together, it all ties, and we believe that as more people begin to become aware of the changing environment and social economic political opportunities that are available today through technology, and that's what the Urban Tech Fair is about, creating awareness that more people will become involved.
Okay. I would like to share with our audience, first we'd like to thank everyone for listening in. You can, if you choose to call in, you can 646-716-7994, ask any questions, share any tech news that's going on with you and in your area. But please do visit us online at www.urbantechfair.org. Again, that's www.urbantechfair.org. And click on join and join us. We need everyone to participate and be a part of this movement. We are just very excited, and we're going to kick off 2014 running. And David and I are actually putting together an event to happen the last week of November. It's called The Other Side of Hip Hop. We're going to really working to put it on an event. We're just testing some technology, which will be great because we're hoping at a conference to, you know, to do these interviews and host these event with people across the country all through our live stream channel with us, without us having to fly anywhere or fly anyone in. So this is November, and this is the official month for the history of hip-hop history month. And so we want to celebrate that, and we want to look at the other side of hip-hop, which we talk about women in hip-hop and conscious hip-hop, which is, you know, sometimes it's done a lot, but it's not celebrated. So we want to look at that side, the other side of hip-hop. So we're working to put that event together for the Urban Tech Fair. And my goal is, too, if I get, like, people like Mr. Great Jim Newsom and all to really work with me, we are going to hopefully at that time be able to kick off our membership program. So you'll be able to join and really help move the Urban Tech Fair along by, you know, becoming a general member. It's only $25. You get your membership card with your QR code, and we have a nice little, another little gift for you that you get when you become a member, and that is just going to kick off our membership drive. And you can get memberships for the holidays and all of those great things. So we're hoping, like I said, we're hoping to begin that the last week in November. And I just want you guys to come along and be a part of this. And if there's not an Urban Tech Fair schedule for your city, please consider heading up one in your city. Richmond, Virginia will be our next one to come aboard. So we're just getting excited. We really have some great things going on. Jim?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, and we will also, too, I guess in December we're going to start putting calls out for speakers, like specific, you know, topics and things. You had an opportunity, people had an opportunity to present We have various tracks, so whatever programming or workshops or seminars you want to present on those tracks, you have opportunity to present in our virtual expo as well as an opportunity to present in our on a ground expo in various cities. And then if you also want to showcase your wares, we have vending opportunities as well. So it's a lot of great things, a lot of great opportunities, and definitely opportunities to really market and showcase what you're doing and great learning opportunities. So if you teach and if you like to learn, this is what the Urban Tech Fair, you know, is about. There will be opportunities to learn at so many different levels. Jim, anything else?
Just that we're looking for everybody to get involved in our social networking platforms. Don't forget we're on LinkedIn, Google Plus, Twitter, Facebook. Follow the hashtag Urban Tech Fair, and you will find us wherever you are, we are.
All right. Okay, so we are going to close out here, and we thank everyone for listening in. Again, you can visit us at www.urbantechfair.org, and from there you can get to all of our social network platforms. If you don't remember anything else, remember urbantechfair.org. Just Google us. And we speak for everyone. A great week. Please connect with us this Saturday, November the 9th, and it is, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 a.m. Mountain, 12 noon Central, and 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on National Conference Call. You can call in and specifically find out what's going on, how you can participate, and what are the next steps in the Urban Tech Fair. So it's our National Conference Planning Call. It's actually work in action. We come to work. So if you just check us out on our Facebook page and our LinkedIn page, you can find out all the details for the National Conference Call. And, of course, if you join and sign up for the email list, you will get the notice. And to that, I say good night, Jim.
Good night, everyone. Have a blessed weekend.
All right. Peace.